You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.
My program director just said, Ralph, you never put your mics on. So I was just speaking like a moron. This is College Radio 101. Welcome to College Radio. Gosh, how did I forget that? You know what, everybody? I'm not going to lie. It's the Jack Daniels. I've been drinking. And whoever's got their cell phone on, Kai, turn the darn thing off because I heard the ringer. Victoria Greenwood, who is my co-host, is doing a Queensryche video for three straight days. I don't know what Queensryche is, but somehow they're a hair band, metal band, rock and roll band.
They still exist?
And I have no idea, but Victoria is doing that video. Normally, I would give a plug to our sponsor, the Pineapple Hill Saloon, but why should I do it? Because I have the Pineapple Hill Saloon in-house tonight. Angela Marsden is with us, which we will get to. And then Kai from last week, I don't know why, but there were actually three people in the entire universe that asked for him to come back. So I wanted to make them happy. So for those three people that asked me to bring Kai back, he is here in studio today. But I will not fail my plug on the Pineapple.
Just so you know, I am not responsible for the reckless in hosting. That's happening.
You know what? You write the check, and therefore you can say whatever you want, Angela Marsden. Please go to
Jack Daniels is okay.
Please go to the Pineapple Hill Saloon. It is located on Van Nuys Boulevard on the corner of Moore Park. You'll see an In-N-Out Burger. Do not go to there, but keep going back into the parking lot towards the back corner on the left-hand side. You will see Pineapple Hill Saloon. Have a tuna melt. Have a patty melt. Have a vegetable plate. Have something gluten-free, like a steak. Have whatever you want. Have some cocktails. Man. By the way, for you people that enjoy this, Jason, their longtime bartender, found out today he shaves his legs. Very disturbing.
Poor Jason.
Very, very disturbing. But that's what happens in the Pineapple Hill Saloon. So I want to welcome Angela.
You know, not knowing what the hell we were going to talk about tonight, this was the last thing I would have guessed and or imagined that I...
He's trying to get the image out of his head.
I am trying to get the image of Jason's, the bartender that works with Ashley.
Who, by the way, is an amazing bartender. I got to, like, give him a little, like, nod up, poor guy.
Who knows?
Who knows? Because you can't take your eyes off the legs.
But, hey, Angela, since the last time we saw you pre-COVID, you have oversaw the recall election of Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
You've saved your own bar and restaurant.
No, Ralph, I did not save my bar. The American people and people from London and Denmark and all over the world donated. And yes,
that is correct. But you could have thrown the towel in. You had the fortitude to stick it out, fight it out, and keep going forward. Yes, all of those people, including myself and everybody that goes to Pineapple Saloon, everybody that donates to you, helped you in your endeavor. But people of lesser fortitude have thrown in the towel while you stayed and fought. And then lastly, you became a grandmother.
I did. And it's called Glamma. I'm trying to adjust to being a younger grandmother. and I have a beautiful, beautiful granddaughter who my son Devin blessed me with, Violet. And she's just gorgeous and tiny. And she looks like a little monkey. And I love her.
Right. And by the way, and that's what the beautiful part of the Pineapple Hill Saloon is. It's not just a bar that's in the Oaks of Sherman, which, because we all love the Oaks of Sherman, but it's a neighborhood place.
Yes.
Everybody feels like there's somebody's family in there.
Yeah.
We've seen marriages. We've seen babies born. We've seen graduations.
Wow, you want to talk about marriage. I've seen people propose in my bar, and I've also had a whole wedding party come, and they stopped in before they actually got to the chapel to get married, full gown, tuxes, everything. And they came in, they said, "We met here and we just want a picture under the Pineapple Hill chalkboard." And I gave them, you know, my best bottle of champagne. And then I said, you're not supposed to see her in the wedding dress. What? And they're like, well, this is more important. I had another couple that got married in the summer were dead. It was the most wonderful experience I ever had. They said, Angela, we cannot afford a reception hall. So, and we feel like this is our home. Can we have our reception at the Pineapple Hill? And we don't have enough money to book it out. And I said, well, that's all right. Sundays are usually dead. If you don't mind people being here, you can do it here. And they decorated the whole place. And they had the groom's table, the bride's table. They had Star Wars music playing as they ran in. And they had a band. And any customer that entered just knew that they were part of the wedding reception. And I felt like I was in some little village in France. And it's my heart. I love the Pineapple Hill. And I love my community.
And that's what I wanted to get to. Because it's not just a bar. It's not just a saloon. It's not like the Olive Garden or someplace like that. It is about the neighbors, about the folks that are in there. I walked in tonight, and it's one of the first times I've been inside the bar at the Pineapple Hill since COVID. Three guys at the end of the bar were like, Ralph! And it felt home. So Kai and I are both from boroughs in New York City, different boroughs. He's from Queens. I'm from the Bronx. But we grew up on these neighborhood establishments.
Mm-hmm.
Kai, you knew the owner. You knew the bartender. You knew their kids. And you went in there, and it was a sense of community. Correct me if I'm wrong.
100%. One of the great things about growing up in the East Coast and some of the East Coast cities is this sense of neighborhood. And in every neighborhood, there was a neighborhood bar. And you got to know everybody. You were part of the community. Part of the enjoyment of the neighborhood was going to the neighborhood bar and maybe shooting a game of pool, having a beer, whatever it is you're going to do. The Pineapple Hill has a very similar feel and look to it. It reminds me very much of an East Coast bar.
You know what's funny is one day I was bartending during the day because often I'm working my bar. And Mr. Big stumbles in.
Sex in the City?
Yes, he stumbles in and he says, oh. He looks around and he goes, this isn't the sushi place. And we're dead because it's in the middle of the day and I'm behind the bar and I'm like, no, it's not the sushi place, but we have great food. And he's like, oh, that's nice. And he looks around and goes, wow, this reminds me of a bar back in New York. And I go, well, thank you. I said, you should sit and have lunch. And he goes, you have food? I was like, yeah. He goes, well, what do you have? I said, well, we have a great Reuben. We get written up for it all the time. And he goes, well, I'm, you know, my wife and I are gluten-free. I said, so am I. And we have gluten-free bread. And he's like, what? But he said the same thing. He said it reminded him of a place in New York. So that was very flattering.
Not to go down a little bunny trail, but the evening that I met you some decade ago, we were at the Chimney Sweep, also in the Oaks of Sherman, and Mr. Big was at the bar that night as well.
I don't remember that.
Yes. So, but here's what I wanted to get to, and this is the larger point of the entire conversation tonight. So you're running a neighborhood establishment.
Yes,
people come, they get married there, they bring their kids' photos. It's where you go because folks know who you are. Kai and I grew up in that same type of situation. I'm in the Bronx, he's in Queens. It's family oriented. So I just have one question for you, and if you don't want to answer it because you're high on your horse, Angela, I get it, but hopefully you'll be
high
honest.
On my horse.
No. Let the host do his magic.
Okay.
Hopefully you will tell me why I'm wrong. So you're having trouble staffing, and the bars that Kai and I hang out in are having trouble staffing. I'm asking you, why don't you just take the president's advice and pay people more?
He really wants to test me.
Because you must be what? You drive a Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah.
You live in Bel Air. You are profiting off of the little people. So why don't you just pay them more?
I'm a millionaire secretly. I just don't tell people, you know. I just don't want to, like, you know.
As are all small business owners.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I cannot believe, first of all, this actually happened with an MSNBC reporter first. And I forget her name, but I did tweet out about it. And I don't even tweet that much. Yeah, it was just like, oh, you got all this grant money, restaurants. You're sure to help. Why don't you pay people more? I don't know. I drive a Hyundai Sonata. I have a rent control apartment.
That's a car?
Oh, it's a car from two. Yeah, It's a car. I love it. 2005.
That's an actual car.
I love it.
Okay.
It's kind of like the love bug. I have a name for it and everything. but we have very thin margins, and it's outrageous. There is nobody that is saying this that has ever owned a large, small business. And on top of that, if you look at how they say, oh, we want to make this like national, we want to be like California. Restaurants, bars, dry cleaners that had been around forever in my neighborhood were going out of business before COVID. You know, they raised the minimum wage on small businesses in the middle of COVID and never even said a word about it. Like, literally, when you own a small business, you own it because you're passionate about your neighborhood. You're passionate about your people. You know, you go, I want to be happy. It's not about money. I want to be happy. And you hope that, you know, by employing people within the neighborhood, by being part of the neighborhood, by providing things for the community, that you will survive enough to have a middle to lower middle class lifestyle, meaning have a nice car, a decent house, and if you have kids, be able to send them to a decent school. And that is not possible at $15 an hour, even in LA. I cannot charge $20 for a hamburger for the working class people, which are disappearing here. I mean, we are literally at war.
So I really hope you feel brave enough to answer this question, because I didn't prep you that this question was coming. So they say in LA County, mm-hmm. to own a home, you have to earn $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
So do you own a home?
No, I don't. I live in a rent-controlled apartment.
So do you earn over $150,000 a year in your bar?
No, I don't.
So where do these politicians come from? Because you're struggling as a single female business owner,
yeah,
eking out a living.
Yep.
You're not, by the way, and I can tell this to the audience, I've known Angela for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
She's never been bitter one day in her life. She has an optimistic outlook on life. She cares about people. She cares about the people she employs. She cares about the people that come into her restaurant. It's almost easier for you just to wrap it up and say, screw it, I'm out of here. Why do you work so hard for the amount of profit that you see at the end of the year?
I can't tell you how much, well, first of all, people mean to me. And connecting people to people. So in my bar, one thing that I really want my bartenders to do is, you know, if somebody's sitting in the bar you don't know, you say, oh, hey, Ralph, this is June, or this is, you know, connecting people is so important. And in the bars, I mean, even in the revolutionary days, right, that's where artists were born. Musicians, creativity, revolutions. This is where people can come for real free thought. And I believe, honestly, I didn't believe this way before, but after experiencing all I've experienced, I believe the reason why they were so hard on small businesses in bars and restaurants in particular is because there's free thinking. I mean, let's face it. If you go on Facebook, they can control all your thoughts because they can block you from things, right? If someone you know, Ralph, you come in and you say, this happened to me today, that's a real life reference that I go, wow, oh my gosh, I better steer clear of this, or this isn't right, or I can trust that thing, right? And they can't edit what you're saying to me. And so to me, it's very funny. In LA, I've worked in the bar industry a long time because I came out as a single mom pursuing acting, which I really love, and that was my passion. And I got pretty far with it. And then I got to a point where it wasn't making me happy. The industry just wasn't what I wanted it to be, and I chose to stop that. In bars, in restaurants that are not the she, I'm coming here to be seen restaurants, but the neighborhood bars, were a sample, is a rare thing in LA. They don't exist anymore. They're mostly bought up. They're turned into trendy places where people are more worried about being seen and how they look like, so they don't open up. The neighborhood bars are so essential to life, to community, to everything, like everything. And that's why I do what I do and why it's been heartbreaking.
Let's back up just a bit.
And just before you do that, I have to ask just a contrarian question. and then I want to get to what you want to say, Kai. You spent the majority of your life on Wall Street around people who, if I said to them, did you do $150,000 this month, they would consider that a bad month. How, where does that chutzpah come from to say to someone in Angela's position, with no embarrassment, just pay your people more?
Well, remember, it's not ordinarily or typically that person who's making an awful lot of money that's saying that. It tends to come from the political class.
Yeah.
And the political class, as a general statement, ordinarily has no business background. We touched on this a little bit last week. They've never signed the front of the paycheck. They've always signed the back of the paycheck. They don't understand what it takes for any person to open up a small business, what it takes to get through the tough times. And the good times, by the way, you don't go out and buy Rolls Royces, you get Honda Civics or whatever it is that you're driving.
Right.
The political class comes at it from a different perspective than the wealthy class. I will politely suggest that most people who make an awful lot of money really do understand the difficulty of paying the $15 wage if you're a small business person, because even though they're making a lot of business today, they weren't making a lot of business all the time. They got there somehow.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yes.
That political class, and if you look at some of these resumes, and if you look into their background, you'll see an extraordinary absence of real life business acumen. It's just not on the resume.
Yeah.
And consequently, you get concepts and ideas that sound good, but are very difficult to implement. And if you do implement them, have unintended consequences, which oftentimes are dire, to the small business owner.
Yeah.
That's a longer answer your question.
By the way,
listen,
it's more spot on than I had anticipated, to be honest with you, because I was thinking strictly from the elitist class that don't understand the struggles, and you actually put it into a context that makes more sense to me than what I was thinking. So thank you for that.
Can I Fair add enough. Something to that?
Absolutely.
So I hope that
you're the sponsor.
I hope that
if you by the way, if you want to sit in this chair, you can sit in this chair. I'm just letting you know.
Want to take a vote?
Well, I think it's I really appreciate what he said, because I think that there, first of all, there's a lot of apathy, and I'm guilty of that, I'm living my life. I don't need to vote. I don't need to, like, really look into who's running. I was that person. And when my eyes were open, I was Alice in Wonderland. I fell into a world that I can never unsee again. And the fact of the matter is we got to get money out of politics, because people that are in political offices, they should have good salaries to have good lives to raise their family, but they should not become multimillionaires from it, because they're going to make the decisions that's best for their pocket. We need people that have walked the walk, you know, and can literally go out there and do it with they're doing it with their heart, because they know what that employee who hasn't been able to pay their rent in 10 months is going to face, and how they're trying to live on unemployment and credit cards. They know what the small business owner's done. And we need people with heart and understanding. And I don't know if it's get rid of the lobbying money. I don't know what the solution is as far as getting the money out. But we as citizens have to start taking charge. We do have a say, and we have to start doing our homework and not being lazy and not understanding what's going on. We have to pick the person that isn't, maybe doesn't speak as well, maybe isn't Big Fabola when he's on the camera, but when you look at his background and when you look at his heart, you know that person at night is not going to sleep if he realizes people have lost their lives and their livelihoods, right?
You are absolutely right. You know, and this goes, it kind of ties into what Kai just spoke about previously. His district of Queens, for some reason, overlaps my district in the Bronx as a congressional district. Can't explain to you why that is. You have to cross a bridge. You have to cross water. But for some reason, Queens and the Bronx,
Italian and Irish,
it overlaps as a congressional district. And the person that represents that district, that congressional district of Queens and the Bronx, is Alexander Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, geez.
And when you say people that with money probably understand Angela's position better than people in the political class, she killed an Amazon deal in Queens.
Unbelievable. I saw that.
That would have brought an average of $100,000 a year salary to 10,000 people in her congressional district. 10,000 people would have gotten a job of $100,000 a year. And she said no because Jeff Bezos makes too much money.
Let's slow down and let what you just said sink in. It's incomprehensible to the ordinary human being's view of the world. Here we have 10,000 or 10,000 plus jobs coming into a district, well-paying jobs for a company not going out of business tomorrow, long-term benefits, amen, salaries, pay the mortgage, put money in the IRA, start saving for the college for the kids, and a politician kills it for reasons that make no damn good sense to anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the point of
that? Exactly. Because take those good jobs. Now, for some people, they say, well, $100,000, and so on. I don't care what it is. Because Kai once said to me, and I've never forgotten it, the best social program in the world is a good paying job.
Yep.
Okay?
I'm on the same page with him.
So those people that got those jobs in Queens and the Bronx, they would have went to their local Pineapple Hill Saloon.
Yep.
They would have went to their local Chimney Sweep.
Yep.
They would have went to their local whatever, the Woodman. Yeah. They would have put that money back into the community where they live and where they work, and that got erased.
Yep.
Let's look at it very simply. Let's assume Angela's business was in that district where the Amazon Fulfillment Center was going to be placed. And all of a sudden, there's another 20 people a day coming in for a beer.
It changed my life.
And not only does it change your life, maybe you have to hire one more person. Guess what just happened? Out of the ether,
yep,
a brand new job, yes, was just formed that didn't exist yesterday. And somebody has a job. That means they have an income. That means they're paying taxes, paying their rent, saving money for college, and all the other things that people do with their income.
And can I just add the woman's emotional point of view to this?
I thought Kai gave it.
Because my heart... yes. No. What people really miss in all of that is the self-esteem, the self-worth, the strength, and the waking up and looking in the mirror. I've got a job. I can go out and do this. I can take my kids to here. I don't, you know, they're giving people so much money they want to stay home right now. But my mom always said, and my mother was Irish Catholic. She worked in a bread factory her entire life. And my mom always made a certain amount of money, which wasn't a lot. And her brothers and sisters always tried to talk her to go into Harvester and GM because she'd make more money and she'd do this and then that. And my mom said, I tried GM and they laid me off twice. And she said, I had kids. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to go and stay at the bread factory. They called her when she was at the bread factory to come back. She goes, no, bread's not going out of business. I don't care if it's more money. I have a job. My mom now is retired and she has a healthy retirement. Her and my dad, and a beautiful home, and they have extra money, and they have a good life. But the point that this is so upsetting to me that nobody ever talks about is the self-building and the self-worth. Like, when I was young, I grew up on a farm. My mom said, you want that cool clothes? Go get a job. I started managing a strawberry patch farm at 14 and earned my own money. And at the time, I thought my mom was cruel. All the popular girls were getting all the clothes. And, you know, here I am, like, working at a strawberry farm just to get the one shirt. But I realized as I got older that those girls didn't go much further from the small town I was from. And I love them, and I'm sure they're happy where they are, so there's no downer on them. But, you know, I've been on major TV shows. I've pursued I have no fear of moving anywhere or changing my life at any time because I know I'll always survive. And there's a self-confidence and a self-worth that it robs from you. And as she always said to me, Angela, you can take that or you can, you know, get that, and it may look like it's free, but just remember, nothing is free. You will pay a price. You will pay your soul, your self-worth. You will stay weak instead of learning how to stretch and be stronger. And they are crippling generations of people right now.
Now you've hit the crux of the matter over the last, well, to my way of thinking, over the last many years, but it came to a head over during the pandemic, the last 14, 15 months, where we have stripped away people's dignity.
Yes.
We've said, you can't work. We're not going to let you go to a job. You must be dependent on us.
Yep.
This is horrific on so many different levels.
So many.
And I'm not enough of a well-educated person in these areas to get into all the nuances of it, but I can tell you fundamentally, people don't want to be dependent on a government or a city or a local government.
It breaks up families.
And this is why
it's fundamentally antithetical to everything we've ever known as Americans.
Amen.
Where.
And this is why I don't want to get away from what Kai had brought up recently, just a couple of seconds ago.
Recently.
About the elite.
Recently.
About the elitist class of the politicians. So yeah. I have a direct question for you. If I happen to be cruising through the Oaks of Sherman and I go to the Pineapple Hill Saloon and I'm on a date, what would lunch cost me with cocktails and the best stuff on your menu?
Wow. Probably $60 or under for the two of you.
Okay, under $60. Yeah. What would it cost me if I was by myself up in the Bay Area and I went into the French Laundry?
Well, I have never been to the French Laundry, so I would know. I guess that would be Kai could explain that one.
All I can tell you is this. Bring your checkbook, the cash in your pocket, the credit card, and the IRA account.
So you're saying,
and you'll have a fine lunch.
So you're saying for a single person, the French Laundry would crush me compared to on a date at the Pineapple Hill Saloon?
Yeah, it would be. Well, look.
No, hold on. That's a factual answer, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So the person that shut you down at the Pineapple Hill Saloon was eating with lobbyists and picked up the check for 12 people at the French Laundry.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
One of
By the way, that person is Gavin Newsom.
Yep. Gavin Newsom, our governor. And I just want to let you know, since even the French Laundry, which makes me want to throw up and makes me enraged, and I'm glad you're reminding people, because we get into our Californication where it's beautiful right now. We think it's all over. And so why do we need to bother worrying about, you know, voting or doing this? That person who was shutting everybody down and putting them out of business left his wineries open, was eating at the French Laundry. His children had private schooling. And I happen to have a friend that is fortunate enough to have money whose kids skied on the same mountain, in the same mountain as his children, that was never shut down the entire time. So you talk about, look, people look at me and they say, hey, you've got it better than me. It's true. I think I have it better than other people. You have people that have less than me that don't even have a computer for their child, and they have five people living in an apartment here. Their kids can't go outside. They can't get on the computer to learn. They're falling behind in grades. His kids are getting private schooling and skiing, and he's eating at the French Laundry talking about how he can let somebody else work and put me and others out of business. And we employ, small businesses in California employ 48% of the workforce. 48%. We employ almost half the economy in this country. And we employ, in my business, across the nation, over 1 million single parents. And we are the leading industry, small, independent-owned restaurants, of minority-owned managers. And this is a person saying he cares about minorities and he cares about women. And he is literally decimating us. And decimating even in communities, Inglewood, Compton, worse than me.
By the way, for those of you out there, this is not just about restaurants, because my sponsor, Angela Marzen, owns the Pineapple Hill Saloon over on Moore Park and Van Nuys Boulevard. This is about in your community where you see street after street with tents and tenth. Homeless people, the crime. Just, by the way, I'm going to get a little hyper-local for a second. There's a neighborhood in West Hollywood called the Bird Streets. The Bird Streets happens to be more expensive than Beverly Hills. Just four nights ago, a gentleman was followed home from a bar in West Hollywood to his home in the Bird Streets. He owns Fashion Nova, and he was attacked at gunpoint by three assailants who followed him home from the bar. We are in the wild, wild west. We have homelessness. We have drug addiction. We have crime that is just rampant. We have businesses that are shutting down.
We have a governor saying, let them eat cake.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
But we have a pretty beach. So
yes,
re-elect him.
Yes.
Because we have a pretty beach.
Right. Or because he's going to give more free money to demoralize you further and prolong the agony that you're going to have to eventually face. Because let's just face it, they gave a grant for front house employees, right? $800. I remember I was in the middle of the pandemic. I'm like, Lindsay, call our staff. Tell them to apply for the grant. They can get $800. And then the fine print said, well, it's only going to 4,000 people and it's a lottery. They were giving $25,000 to grants to restaurants, of which most of the people I know didn't get it. I did. I have a bookkeeper. He was really good at it. Thank God. $25,000 doesn't even pay payroll for a month for me. And other people didn't get it. And then you can't apply for it if you're shut down. So if you're a bar without food, you were shut down for a year.
Right. How about
a
this?
Year.
I am not good at math, but my friend Kai happens to be very good in math. So I just read an article today, LA Times, not a right-wing publication, anybody would argue, LA Times. The average city services cost to a single homeless person in a tent, because they give the tent, they give medical, they give food, cost city of Los Angeles $60,000 per person in a tent. Kai, the average rent of a one-bedroom apartment in LA County is $2,000 a month. What is 2,000 times 12?
Well, I don't have the calculator with me, but I'll take a rough guess and say 24,000.
Is that less than $60,000?
I'm almost positive, but I'm not quite as good as math as you say, but I'm pretty sure it is.
This is what we're doing. This is Governor Newsom. This is Eric Garcetti. This is the governmental class of California. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't throw Newsom out, if you don't throw Gasson out, California, you get what you deserve. And I'm saying this, by the way, one of my favorite stories. I was in one of my favorite watering holes, Dan Tanis. And I got into a little discussion with a young gal that was there. She's a recent graduate of USC. So you would think that she had a fine education. Probably her parents had a little bit of dough because she went to USC. And we started arguing over a bar in L.A. And she said to me, she goes, what do you know about the bar in L.A.? You're from New York.
That was a bad move.
I said to her, I said, so-and-so, I've been in L.A. 30 years. You've been here 21. Okay, so your entire adult years in L.A. is 5 years. I've been here 30. But that's the mentality. People, if you don't throw Gasson out, if you don't throw Gavin Newsom out, you're getting what you deserve.
By the way, please, please come to the Pineapple Hill, 4454 Van Nuys Boulevard, and sign the petition to get rid of Gasson. It is at the Pineapple Hill. People go, you know, I always even believe, don't mix politics with, you know, the bar.
It's done.
It's done.
It's done.
It's done. I will fight for this community and for the state, even if it closes my bar, because every child here, every person that lives here deserves to have the life I had back in Indiana. I've been here 29 years. I go back home, and my sister lives across the street from my mom. Their mortgage is $600-$700. They have a pool, and all the kids that are of my family, 20 of them, are together. We're all barbecuing. We're having a beer. There's a nice house. They're in a pool. They have love. Our children and our families and the people that work here, the backbone of the state, we deserve a quality life, period, period. And these people have got to go. They have to go.
And by the way, listen to what Angela's saying. This isn't about just the bar restaurant industry. And I think And that's the way Governor Newsom is now framing it. It's about, well, the bars and restaurants are now back open. We're giving them grant money to get back on their feet. It's not about one industry. Drive past any underpass of a freeway in L.A. County. Count the tents. Count the crime increases in your local community. It's not just about the bar and restaurant industry.
No.
It is about quality of life.
I was driving into California. I mean, they always say if you look at you know, a place, look at the sickest part of it, and that will tell you where the state's going to go, right? So Needles is a very small town. It's a, kind of a desert town.
Yes, I've been there.
You've been there?
Yes.
And it's got about 5,000 people in it.
Do you know that's where Snoopy from Peanuts, his brother, lives?
No.
Yes, he used to go visit his brothers who lived in Needles.
Shut up, really?
Yes, if you're a Peanuts fan, you would know this.
I did not know that. Well, I was driving
Who
back
knew
from
that?
His brother.
I love Snoopy.
Snoopy's brother Charles lived in Needles.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. You learn something new every day. So I did a road trip where I drove 3 days cross country to Indiana. I wanted to drive. I needed the peace. I needed to, you know, see the countryside because the countryside is beautiful. Which, by the way, the highest gas price was $3.79, and as soon as I hit California, it was $5. I go into Needles, and it's late at night, and I got to get gas. And I thought, well, I don't usually eat McDonald's, but I'm on the road. I've been driving forever. I'm going to, you know, follow the arrows to the McDonald's and the gas station. And it takes me into the town. I had to go very far in. Empty. So all these beautiful storefronts, you could shoot a movie there because everything's empty. And they have all these Route 66, like all have been redone for Route 66. And I'm driving. It's a little scary. I'm like, oh, great. So I get into the only gas station that was open, and I go in to get gas, and there's a young girl there, Crystal, who was the most amazing woman. I mean, just she was so heartfelt. And so I go in, and I said, oh, my God, you know, I need to get $40 worth of gas. And I said, I am so sorry. I said, COVID devastated your town. And she said, yeah, she said, we had a mayor years back that was robbing us of all our money, and we got rid of him, and we rebuilt the town for Route 66, and our economy was coming back, and it's completely empty. And she said, not only that, she says, the crime is through the roof, and there's only 5,000 of us, and we all know each other, but there are people coming in with drugs and things that we don't even know. And she said, there's only been 2 kidnappings in our history, and we just caught 3 cars, the sheriff caught, full of children being trafficked from the border.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, nobody cares about us because we're outside of San Bernardino and we're next to Arizona, and they don't protect the border here, and they're doing nothing for us. And she's like, I can't even believe this is happening. And that is a sample of what the rest of us are going to look like. So, I mean, if we don't do something for the least of us.
Now, look,
I'm being dramatic. You're but not. It's like, this is like.
But I'm happy. I met you 10 years ago. I met you in a dive bar.
You did.
You and I had a bunch of.
Love dive bars.
You and I had a bunch of adult cocktails. We talked about life until they kicked us out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
We did.
So I consider you a friend, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm not sure if you understand the influence that you have on other people. So, Kai, last night I took Angela out for dinner. I haven't seen her in a while. She just got back from Indiana. So I took her to a very mucky muck place in Los Angeles called Rayo's Restaurant.
It was quite fun, and I loved it.
Right.
And by the way, I noticed it was $40 for a dish. Thank you, Ralph.
So you're not supposed to look at that stuff. So, so I take her to this very mucky muck place. We're sitting at the bar. We're deciding, should we eat at the bar? Should we eat at a table?
Yeah.
When the general manager comes over, Tracy, and Tracy runs Rayo's, but she also ran Rayo's in Nevada and in Las Vegas. She's run restaurants all over life. All of a sudden, she's looking at Angela. She goes, oh, my God. You're the girl from Pineapple Hill Saloon. Other waiters came up. You're the one from Pineapple Hill Saloon. You're a force. Whether you realize it or not, you have that light force in you. People will follow you if you decide to lead. You're passionate about this. Don't let that passion die, because you have that intrinsic value that most people don't. They pay for it. You have it.
I don't know what to say because I didn't ask. I didn't ask for this. I didn't.
Let me interrupt
you know.
Right there. Every cause. Every single important societal cause throughout history has had standard bearers, many of whom didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be the standard bearer. It was thrust upon them.
Yeah.
The question is, what do you do with the opportunity? This is your decision, and we certainly can't make that for you. But your passion about what you do is so clear and obvious. You're articulate. Why wouldn't you run with this standard bearer? Why wouldn't you become the standard bearer? And let's see where you can take this movement. There are things that need to be done in society.
Yeah.
Here in California, we've already talked about it. Let's get rid of Governor Newsom.
Yes.
Let's ask a District Attorney Garcon to go do something else for a
Please.
Living.
Please.
But we need people to be marching in front
Yes.
of the group and giving direction and becoming that type of person who people can rally around and support because they believe in your fundamental honesty and your commitment to this and your just basic humanness as you come at these problems from the direction that most of us want to come at it from. And you do this naturally and easily, and I think you ought to keep doing it.
I want to say thank you very much. It was thrust upon me, and there's a moment when that happens that you say, wow, my bar is being saved, and everybody else is dying around me. And you say to yourself, all right, God, you created this miracle. I did not. And I cannot be a person that takes the money and says my bar is saved and watch my neighbors in my community drown and die. And there was a moment where my mom said, just come back home. And I thought about it. And I said, I can't because I love California and I love Los Angeles. And I moved here when it was beautiful and wonderful. And everybody's leaving, Mom. Everybody I talk to is leaving and bailing. And if we don't fight for it. So I just hope everybody, anybody that's listening, I get it. You got kids, you got a career, you got other things, but you can vote or you can, you know, if you
organize,
if you have time, organize. I happen to be in a position where I don't have children. It's just
me.
I mean, I have my son, Devin, who's an adult, and my granddaughter, but I don't have the day-to-day responsibility right. that most people can't get out from under to make a change. And so I will not give up, and I will not quit until I can look at California and go in Los Angeles and say, okay, we're back. We're right on the right track, and it's going to take us a long time to get there. I understand that, but I can't stop speaking for the people here because there are a lot of people who are born and raised here, okay? And they can't, they can leave, but they have to leave everything they know. And it's not fair. And as I said to my staff when I made that video that day, you know, I walked in, I drive through, and I see this movie tent and a catering truck next to my tent, 15 feet from my tent where I've been shut down. And I'm giving last paychecks and I'm out of money. And I'm done. I was not ever going to make it after that if it weren't for the donations. And I go in and I drive through that. And I'm always putting on a bright face for my staff. I get in and I'm trying to hold it in. And one of my staff members came out to me and they're like, they all are just looking at me because they know. And they're like, he's like, Ann, it's going to be okay. And in that moment, I realized, no, it's not going to be okay. Yeah. And anybody that's listening, all I can say is, maybe you need the moment for it to come to your front door the way I did, but I'm here to say you don't need to wait for that moment. Start doing your own research. Start talking to your neighbors. Start talking to your business owners and get ahead of it before it shows up at your door. You know, through a year of COVID and the stories I could tell that I couldn't believe were happening. And then listening to my friends saying, I'm done, I'm out of business. And hairstylists, not just bars, hairstylists. I mean, they would come in when the patio was open before they shut me down a second time. in tears. And I'm going to build a patio. I'm going to close restaurants and scavenging their stuff and listening to their stories and their tears of how they're trying to sell me stuff off Facebook because they're done.
I need to say something.
It's wrong.
I need to say something because I want people to understand who you're, what your character is. Because I've known you for a decade. And I consider you a very close friend
Thank you, Ralph. I'm a very close friend. I feel the same about you.
During this whole COVID nonsense, not only did Angela survive, but she followed all of the damn rules that the government placed upon her. I could have used my influence with Angela and say, come on, I'm your buddy. I'm going to sit in a booth in the bar. No one will see me. Give me a couple of cocktails. I'll lay down on the booth. I'll drink my booze and I'll get out. Angela wouldn't even allow that. So for someone like...
Because we all, when it first started, we were worried about, you know, COVID. And I just said to my staff, look, if anybody were to get COVID out of my not listening to things and die, I couldn't live with that. So I need to keep doing things the right way.
My whole point is you followed the rules. I'm getting screwed. Screw them. I'm going to skirt the rules, which speaks to your character.
Thanks.
It really speaks to your character.
Thank you.
And for that, I've always wanted to say, I mean, I wouldn't have done that. It's true. And the other thing you said is
I was very envious of people. When I heard of people not doing that, I was like, oh, I can't do that.
And the other thing that you said, which is kind of true, is, you know, we both came here 30 years ago. It was probably 1989, 1990, depending on the year. You know what's funny? You said you don't want to leave here. And there are other people that have been here and they have a life here. Yeah, it's funny. I have a life here, too. And I've been here 30 years.
Me, too.
I came in with a suitcase. I could leave tomorrow with a suitcase.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to Los Angeles dynamic.
And I'm begging you not to. Because I need everybody to stay with me because I'm not going anywhere.
You know, like...
Well, your Jack Daniel sales will plummet.
I know. What would I do?
We can't have that.
And by the way, I'm just speaking for myself. I supported your restaurant more during COVID than I ever did prior. Because I knew how hard the people were working. Jason and
Oh, we were doing to-go and taking a loss. And I mean...
I literally was tipping 50% because I felt so bad for everybody in that restaurant.
To me, to keep the to-go open, I was still taking a loss. But I knew that would pay my staff. So as long as my staff was getting something... I had to keep it open. You have to know, some people are listening know, maybe some don't. My kitchen staff has been in that kitchen since 1978. Their entire family works there. So you're talking about Miguel, his wife, his son, his brother, and we just brought in his brother's son. Now, it's the only job they've ever had. Miguel's in his 60s. So to me, that's my mom in the bread factory.
Right.
Like, you don't, like... They have nothing if this place closes. And even during the time, he's saying to me, what am I going to do at my age? Where am I going to go? Like, they own a home. They have, you know what I mean? Like, there was no. Like, it was like, I remember my bookkeeper said, Angela, you don't have the money. You cannot do this. You're going to go under. We're losing money. And I took out a loan. I took out the disaster loan, $180,000. I'm living off the loan that I have to pay back. Not a forgivable one. And I looked at him right before building the patio and I said, well, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down big because I cannot walk away from my community and I cannot walk away from that kitchen staff. I cannot do that. So we're going to have to hope for a miracle. And I honestly did not realize that I would really get a miracle.
And you did.
I do believe in God and thank you. But I wasn't praying for a miracle. I was blessed. And I do. We did help the hospitals, too. That was
absolutely. Look, we have to close out, and normally here's where I give my 20-second plug to Pineapple Hill Saloon, but you know what? The entire show is Pineapple Hill Saloon, and for those of you out there, even if you don't want to go in, order something to go. Here's another thing. Don't support Pineapple Hill Saloon. Support that small business on the corner of your street. Support that hairdresser on the corner of your street. Support that nail salon on the corner of your street. Go out and support the small business owners. They're fighting. They're not rich. They're not wealthy. They're making a living. But more than that, they're making a living for other folks.
Yeah.
They're giving a job to a family for 30 years, 40 years, and then they're in their 60s.
Can I add one thing?
Yes, you may, because you're the sponsor.
Please, out there, everybody be patient with your small businesses. We are in an employment crisis right now. We cannot find people. People don't want to work. They're still getting unemployment. And so the service is slower.
All right. We have to go. No show next week, 4th of July. Yay. Celebrate our country. Victoria Greenwood will be back on the 12th of July. And Kai, thank you very much. Angela, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ralph.
OK Boomer, and enjoy the rest of your week.
You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.